Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you that your word is alive and full of power, sharper than any double-edged sword, piercing even dividing asunder soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. It is the seer into. So God, see into us, teach us, lead us, and guide us, and bring us into all truth. You told us to learn of Jesus, learn of me. And so we come to learn about the Lord, and in the process, we'll learn more about ourselves. God, we forget ourselves now. We concentrate on Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you, Lord, that your word is alive. It's coming alive in every one of us. I decree that thing and call it done. I cancel the assignment of the enemy. He loves to come to steal his word. But Satan, I remind you, you are on your way to be tormented. You will be in the lake of fire forever. There's no remedy for you. There is no Savior coming for you. So I torment you with that so that you will know that these proceedings are not for your attendance. I cancel your assignment to steal the word. This word is going to good ground to bring forth great fruit of abundance. People will see it. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Everybody said amen. Let's make a confession. Say, this is my Bible. I am what the word of God says that I am. I can do what the word of God says that I can do. This is God's word given to me on purpose. And I am a hearer, but not just a hearer. I am a doer on purpose. So the word that I hear, I will do my best to do that. This is God's word. This is my Bible. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. In Jesus' name, I call it done. Amen. Go ahead and be seated, please. Let's go in our Bibles back to where we were before. Let's go to Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. Genesis chapter 12 and verse number 1. And really what the Lord entitled our learning at this time, our teaching, the things that we're receiving, is very simple, how to receive in 2026. This is a year of acceleration. Say acceleration. Are you ready to go fast? I said, my wife stopped me again this morning. Don, you're driving so fast. I told her too. I said, it's the year of acceleration. She said, that ain't going to work. Watch me. No, I just know that God is bringing things back quicker. Well, see, the enemy tries to go ahead of God and mess up things faster than God can fix them up. So don't just ignore him. If you're having challenges and you're saying, I thought this was the year of acceleration, and it looks like everything's going backwards. So don't worry about that. There's always a counterfeit before the real thing shows up. The enemy will always try to give you a plan B before plan A from God shows up. Yeah, I'd write that down if I were you. But that happens a lot. And a lot of times people get discouraged with the plan B that the enemy brings. And it looks like it's replacing plan A, which hasn't arrived. But like the Bible says, it says, write the vision, make it plain. And then in part of that, it says, though it tarries, wait for it. So the thing that God is going to do for you is coming to pass. Just wait for it. Say amen. Turn to somebody and say, wait for it. Even though this is a year of acceleration, it's still a year, okay? So the year is not over. Let's keep working on it, and we'll see what happens. Now, I want you to write this down. Oh, gosh. I want you to write this down. Please, God. And then you could say, God, please. Now, the Bible says it is impossible to please God without what? Faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. But I want you to understand that people that don't spend their time diligently pleasing or attempting to please God usually end up praying, God, please. It's better to be able to please God than to have to plead to God. Let it sink in now. Now, I'm going to deal with something that I dealt with it this morning on television somewhat. But I'm going to go into something that's going to help us a whole lot, and you're going to start seeing it in people, and you're going to recognize even the people you've already seen it in, that that's what you were seeing. Okay? The Bible says, keep your finger there in Genesis. Let's go to Proverbs 1:7 now. This is important stuff. I just love it. God is so good, and he's so smart. He's just the wisdom that he gives you. I like to say, you're thinking this way, and he goes and hits you on your head on the other side. He just has so many good things for us. The Bible says in Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if we think we've got so much going on because we've got Google and AI, doggone it, I know more than anybody on the planet. All I have to do is punch my Google machine, and I can get all the, I got some knowledge. The Bible says in the last days, knowledge shall increase, but it also says that people will be puffed up also because of that knowledge. You have to watch what you do with knowledge, because if you get a lot of knowledge, you sometimes can get rid of God. Feel like you have too much knowledge for God. I'm too smart. And there's a word for that. We're going to give you that to you in a couple of minutes again and help you to get that. But it says the fear of the Lord, fear of the Lord. See, and I don't know how to put this in people, but I do know that you need to have a real healthy reverence for God. And the Bible says there will be people when Jesus comes, and when this earth is done with and God is ready to create a new earth and a new heaven, that there will be people that will climb up in the rocks like as high as they can toward Mount Rainier and up into the Cascades and into the Olympics. And they will turn to the rocks on those mountains and demand to them, fall on me, because of the face of God that they have to face. Because they pumped God off all their lives. It's time to reverence God. You don't want, and I'm being led by the Lord to say this, there's somebody's, I'll say not body, somebody's in this church. You don't want hell. You don't want to go to hell. You playing with it. I've been there. You don't want in the spirit. God allowed me to go there. It's in my book coming up. But you don't want to go to hell. You plan this stuff. This is not a game. You are not in control after you leave this body. You ain't in control of anything. You are not in control. You have no idea where you're going. You don't, most of the time, especially if you're not ended up in heaven with the Lord, which he allowed me to go there as well. But if you don't, if you are in hell, you have no idea what's going to happen. You can play that game here. You're going to be scared out of your wits. You end up in hell. Now, the good news is that nobody has to do that. Say, I ain't doing that. Tell somebody, say, I'm not doing that. That's not where you're going. See, but it starts with the fear of the Lord, because then you can get to know the Lord, because knowledge, knowing, knowledge, acknowledge. What is knowledge? It's knowing on a ledge. Break the word down. It's knowing on a ledge. It's knowledge. That's how God breaks words down for me. So you got to think higher than what people think in this low life that they live with sin. Sin is nothing to play with. Now, you're not going to hear this very many places. You're not going to hear it in very many churches. Sin is nothing to play with, it will take you quicker than you can even think. It will creep on you so fast and send you to hell. Pastor, you trying to scare me? No, I'm just preaching. I'm reading the Bible. What you reading? It says the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise God's wisdom and instruction. Can't listen to anything. Don't want to hear nothing. Your opinion is all that matters. You know everything. You've been on the planet 45 years. You know everything now. We're supposed to just listen to you. You don't know nothing. Nothing. Because what we see is not even really what's all here. And so God wants us to give our lives to him with reverence. Reverence. I refuse to have people call me a reverend. God has never called me a reverend. He's never called me a reverend. He has never said Reverend Don, Reverend Shawda. Now, you do what you want to do. I'm not saying that, you know, God's so mad at you and, you know, all that kind of. I just am not comfortable with telling people. I couldn't have people call me a father of the church. We got a father of the church. What do you need me to be a father for? Oh, I know I'm stepping on some religious toes now. And I know that. But see, I'm free. There's no denomination that's going to fire me. I was hired by God, and he pays my salary, and he pays well. He takes care of me, so I can talk like this. Now, you do what you want to do. I'm not saying right or wrong. I'm not calling balls or strikes. All I'm saying is that for me and my house, don't call me reverend, because I won't want that reverence to go to God. And besides, I have a title. He called me as a pastor, teacher, and I have the calling of apostle on my life to establish churches. We're about to do that. We've already done it in the past. So I don't need to grab God's title of father. Now, I am a father to this son and this daughter here and grandchildren. I'm a grandfather. I'm a big father to them. They love me more than the kids do. Just kidding. But see, the kids, the grandkids, they really see the grandfathers and grandma. You know, they're so dope, man, because they only see us for a little while. Then they go home. They got to deal with mama and dad 24-7. I want to go to grandma's house. Yeah, I know. You want to be pampered. You want more cookies and Kool-Aid. You want a new toy. Yeah, but see, we must, and I don't know how you put this in people. I don't know how you put reverence God. How do you make people do that? I don't know. I've been pastoring for almost 40 years, full time. I don't know how to do that. And I see people all the time that have no reverence for God. How do you know they don't have any reverence for God? Because of what they do and don't do. You're either a doer of the word or a doer of your own thing. You're your own God. I watch people. Sometimes I ask them to do simple things, like when I'm praying for people. Put your toes up against there. They can't do it. Sometimes they'll raise their hand. They need healing. I say, just come to the front. They won't come. I call it the jackass spirit. It's like a donkey. Jackass, you want me to show it to you in the Bible? Okay. Jackass is in the Bible. Every time I say that, people think I'm cussing. No, I'm trying to get your attention. Did I get it? I got your attention, didn't I? But see, all of us have a little bit of donkey in us. That donkey spirit, I ain't doing that. And sometimes it's to our detriment. I don't believe in healing. But you're the one sick. Ain't hurting me none. No skin off my nose. I don't believe in healing. I don't believe in prosperity. You're the brokest member we know in the church. You're the only one that we know because you don't tithe. Always in stress, always upset, never happy, ugly face all the time. Because tithing and giving does not just equate to money. He will pour you out not 50, but a blessing. Blessing, one, which includes everything. Everything is blessed. And so people don't get it. They don't get it. How do you make people reverence God? I don't know. I am going to ask. That is one thing. It's going to be on my list. I'm going to have my iPad with me and say, God, I got this one on the list. What do you do to get people to reverence you? I don't know. For some people, I think it's just the way they grew up. Other people, it's just anger. They're just mad at God. They think God is their problem. My wife went through that when at 18 years old, after living with a family for 18 years that she thought was her family, that lied and said they were her family, biologically. And I told her when I met her, she was 15, I said, listen, you are not part of this family. Besides the fact you look a little different than some of them, but I'll tell you one thing, you have a different spirit, and I didn't even know what a spirit was. You have a different spirit than they do. And when she found out at 18 years old on her 18th birthday or close to that, that she was adopted, she hated God, her father, and everybody else that screwed up that family or her life. She went through 6 months. She'll tell you the testimony. 6 months when we first got married, because I saw emergency. I saw lights and sirens. I don't care, and I love this girl. I sent her a one-way ticket. I said, you're getting out of there from them crazy people. Because I saw her lose reverence for God even. I said, God, why did you let this happen to me? Why is it that I've been living with these people and they lying to me, saying that I am their daughter, and they see these are my brothers and my real brothers and sisters, and they're nowhere to be found. They're all gone. We found one person on the planet that's related to her biologically. One person in Germany. A lady that was my wife's assistant went over to Germany in the military working. What was that? Yeah, she'll be here on Mother's Day ministry, Donna Hilling. She went over to Germany. She was working there for the military after she retired. And she did a search along with an international film producer, a lady by the name of Makilla Kirst, who was going to do a documentary about her life, my wife's life, about brown babies that came out of Germany because the military men went over there and had sexual relations with German women, and these brown babies came and they didn't know what to do with them because the Germans wouldn't accept anybody unless they were blonde hair and blue eyed. And that was even after the Nazis were defeated. But she was born 10 years after that era. But anyhow, she had to deal with the fact that she didn't want to reverence God anymore. And I saw that, and I said, you know, quick as I could, I went and got myself a good radio job. I was in broadcast school and got myself a job and got her a duplex, a little fourplex rather, and lived in one little part of that, and sent for her, one-way ticket, had her stay at my sister's house for a month and a half, and we got married. And for 6 months, she sat in that apartment by herself. No job, no phone, no nothing. She just sat in that house, that little fourplex, and just cried out to God and told him, I'm mad at you. You let this happen to me. I'm angry because these people, who am I? Where am I from? Where did I come from? Where's my relatives? Who's my mother? Where's my father? These are not even my sisters and brothers. I don't know anybody else on the planet. She didn't know anybody else really on the planet, intimately or any other kind of way, except me. So we can have a lack of reverence for God for reasons. But we have to get past the reasons. And thank God, in that 6 months, boy, did she get to know her father, God. She also learned in her heart how to forgive her biological father, who we believe was, you know, anyhow, I won't even say it. But, you know, we had to forgive the whole family for lying and knowing they were lying. Her older sisters that covered it up and all this kind of baloney. This, if it was nothing wrong in the situation, why did you have to cover it? Why couldn't you just tell her? Let her know that. So there's reasons why people do not reverence God, but fools despise God's wisdom and instruction. Genesis chapter 12. Let's look at verse number 1. Thank God, God delivered her. She has the love of God in her heart. She has a beautiful family. She knows how to love her children. She takes care of her husband. She takes care of all of you. She has no relatives on the planet. The one lady that the woman from Germany that was part of this ministry and her assistant went over there and found the one woman, 92 years old, said, "We don't have anything to do with that side of the family." We found her in the Black Forest of Germany. And this lady is Caucasian, she's white. She went over there, she said she was scared. Blonde hair and blue eyes. She was scared, going over there, checking on, all Kathy really wanted was a picture of the rest of her family. "And we don't have any pictures for her. Get away. I don't want to see you." We flew over there, looked into the records. Physically, they keep good records in Germany. We looked throughout the records to find out who her mother was, who her father was. Her father was some military man that had a relationship with a woman that he was married, but he had a relationship with a woman. I don't even know if he knew she was even pregnant when he left. So she had a reason to be angry with God. What's your reason? What's your reason for not reverencing God? You want to play top this? Can you top that? She's still on the planet with no relatives. Nobody biologically tied to her that we can find. That filmmaker, Michaela Kurz, did a search all over Germany. She's German. All over Germany. And could not find one relative of Kathy's. Her name was actually Lisa. And also Carol. Those stories are not clear either. So God understands when you're angry, but he still tells you. In Genesis 12 and 1, he said to Abraham, because we are part of the family of Abraham. I told you last time I was teaching that we have three families we're part of. The family of Abraham by faith, the family of mankind by Adam, and the family of God through Jesus Christ. And we had a relationship with the family of the devil because you were a child of the devil. Don't look at me like that. We were all a child of the devil until we came to Jesus. And some of us still are. We just haven't really transferred. We told people we were saved. You're not saved. You can't be saved and do that. Ain't no way in the world you're saved. You'd love God more than that. Doggone it, stop lying. You don't want to be a Christian. You don't reverence God. You really don't want to be a Christian. You're doing it for somebody, but it ain't God and it ain't you. Because you don't believe there's hell anyhow. But you're going to find a hot spot in the core of this blue globe. And God, and it's not funny. I mean, seriously. People lie to one another, and they get their own imagination. I'm teaching on something that's strong right now. You need to get this, because you'll remember this in hell. You will remember my words in hell. If you go, I don't think you're going. You're giving your life to Jesus, right? So am I. We all need Jesus, but all of us were called of the devil. Now, I know I'm being strong. I'm being somewhat theatrical. Forgive me. It's just the way that God put in my heart to deliver this. Genesis 12 and 1. Now, the Lord had said unto Abram, get out of thy country, meaning nationalism is not it. Thank God for America. But we can't make America heaven. There's some people that believe more in the presidency and this country and the Supreme Court and everything stronger. But I studied that. I love it. I love governmental stuff. I love things like that. I grew up on a military base. I love it all. But you can't make this heaven. So God had to say to Abraham, in order to make him the father of faith or the father of the faithful, including us, get out of your country. Get out of it. Get out of making your country it. Let me say it this way, and don't take this wrong. Get out of your nationality. They ain't gonna save you. You're going to hell just like anybody else. Get out of your nationality. You know? Get out of that. See, we got to figure out what we got to get out of so we could get into. God had to get the children of Israel out of Egypt before he could get them into the promised land. You got to get out of some stuff before you can get into something. You got to get out of debt before you can get into prosperity. You got to get out of sickness before you can get into ministering to others, healing. We got to learn how to get out. You got to get out. He said, get out from among them. Get out. You need to get out. Come from among them. And some of us, we want to put our, every once in a while, once or twice a week, we want to put our toe in the swimming pool of the devil. Just feel it again. Felt pretty good. A little bit more sin. Touch it again. You got to get to the point where you don't want none of that. You got to get to the point where you sold out, where Jesus is it. That if Jesus is not real, you are just doomed, but you don't give a rip because you know God is real. See, the Lord wants you to get out. Say, get out. Come on, don't say get out. Say it like you mean it. Say it like you're trying to get a demon out of you. Say, get out. Say it again. Say, get out. See, we got to get out of some old habits. We got to get out of the way we grew up. My wife cannot live with that stuff that she grew up with and be who she's called to be. She had to divorce herself from the thought of that family. And then what she couldn't do is pick up, I'm German. Yeah, sure. That's the fattest lie in the world, too. Now, if she'd have stayed over in Germany, she'd be speaking German. No, you're a child of God. That's why you had to get out of the country. From your family. What? From my who? Get away from your family, the way you grew up. What you thought when you grew up. Some of us still are 16, 15 years old in our thinking because that was so indelibly inscribed into our minds. We can't get past that. We still dress like we're in 1967. We still talk like we're still 14 years old. God wants to get you out of that. Say, get out. Out of your family. From your father's house. Now we're getting specific. It's not just my cousin Winky and all these other people I got to get rid of. I got to get away from my father's house. I can't. Man, how am I going to make it? He's got an inheritance for me. I've been waiting for him. He's going to kick the bucket one day. You know, and I, what am I going to do? I have no inheritance. Get away from your father's house. Stop relying on him every time you get in trouble. You don't call God, you call dad. Nothing wrong with having a good father. I like being one. But trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Trust in the Lord. See, some of us, we make our children use us as a crutch. Now, I got to deliver this and I'm going home. I got to deliver this. Go with me now to something that's very powerful. Go with me to 3 John. There's actually 4 Johns. There's St. John, 1 John, 2 John, and 3 John. 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John is close to the book of Revelations. Okay, St. John is one of the 4 Gospels. But let's go to 3 John. So 1, 2, 3. 3 John has 1 chapter. And we normally quote from 3 John 2, I wish above all things that you prosper and be in health as your soul prospers. And I do. But what if your soul does not prosper in the things of God? Then you can't prosper in God's way of thinking and be in health. And sometimes people want to do their own thing and wonder why it's not working, God. Well, you're not prospering soulishly, meaning your mind is not changing toward the things of God. You care about the things of this world. You don't really care about God. Forget the things of God. You don't care about God. You just come sit in a seat once a week. It could be a movie theater. It wouldn't make any difference watching a movie. You just come to sit in a chair. That's nuts. You and the chair ain't saved. Both y'all need some salvation. Okay, so the Lord had me deal with this, and I want to have fun with this. Please, just allow me to have some fun with this. Can I enjoy myself? We're going to be yelling and screaming anyhow this afternoon. I'm just practicing. Okay. Because I'm going to be listening to see how far down the road. See, because the problem is that in 0.37 seconds, Google can give you an answer. Less than a second. You push the button. In 0.37 seconds, Google will give you an answer to things you're asking about. So it seems like God is too slow. You're sitting there, you're saying, wait on the Lord. Man, shoot, forget that. Google says I should do this. Now, there's a time to use Google and AI even. But there's times when you need to just leave that stuff alone and find out what God's saying. In fact, it says that 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17. Let's go there real quick before we go over here to 3 John. It says, come out from among them. See, you need to come out from among them. And we're trying to hang with the world and be a Christian too. It doesn't work. You either one or the other. That's like trying to be salt and sugar at the same time. Yeah, you look similar, but until we taste you, you know, we're fooled until we taste you. And that's how the world is with you. They spit you out. You talk about you sugar. Woo, I'm so sweet to the world. And they put you in a... You eat too much salt, it'll blow you up. Eat too much sugar, it'll slow your metabolism down to where you can't lose any weight. So let's look at this 3 John. Let's go back to that again. It says, come out from among them. There it's 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 17. Come out, let me read that first. Come out from among them. Therefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. And do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Conditions. Stop touching the unclean things. And for some people, that's on their computers. Other people, it's creeping late at night or early in the morning. Touching that woman you shouldn't be with or that man you shouldn't be with. Or both. This is 2026. Okay. I gotta tell the truth now. But it don't matter. It's all God considered to be strange flesh. That's what he calls it. And you give an account for that strange flesh. Do not touch what is unclean, and I will receive you. Why doesn't God hear me? When I try to go pray, and I don't feel like God's hearing me. That's because you keep touching all this unclean stuff, and God ain't going to play no games with you. I'm trying to be as straight as I can and help you. It also says in 1 Corinthians 15:33, evil communications disqualify you from blessings. That's my translation. Evil communications, you keep hanging around with people that's evil or doing evil things or wicked, as the Bible talks about wicked, which means twisted. Think about wicked furniture. It's twisted fibers. And some of the people we hang with, they got twisted minds, twisted lives, twisted families. Anybody can be a family. We're all family.
Do I look like your family? Oh, I feel like your family. See, we gotta quit. We can't. And see, we think that we can put up with this and we'll be okay. It doesn't get better. You gotta put your foot down and say, I ain't doing that no more. I'm coming out from among them. And don't blame your mama and your daddy and grandma and all these other people, your employer and everybody else. Don't do that. Just make the change. Now, be separate, says the Lord. Do not touch the unclean thing, and I will receive you. God wants to receive you. Now, let's go over here to this third John, and we're done. We're done. Say, we're done. I got a minute and 19 seconds. Okay, here we go. Let's look at verse number 9. I touched on this at midnight prayer and praise. It says here now, because I want to show you something. John says, I wrote to the church, the whole church. But a dude by the name of Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence among them, does not receive us. There is this word preeminence, which means that I'm better than you. But the sad part about it is that people can act like they're better than God. And that's what this guy was all about. He didn't receive anything from God, even though he was in the church. I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have preeminence, he loves to act like he's in charge. He loves to act like he's greater than everybody else. Listen, that don't work too well with me. I grew up on the military base where I saw every race and every color. My dad had a salute to everybody, and there are those that did not want to salute to him. He's the first sergeant. You're going to salute to my dad before he gets your rearing out of that car wreck that you wrecked your car at 19 years old because you was drinking and he told you not to. He ran around more like a pastor than a military man, trying to take care of his boys, as he called it. As the first sergeant. See, we can have a hate even for God or preeminence. I don't need God. You get in that airplane and let that thing lose pressurization. And your little cup comes down that you got put on your face. And that pilot has to dive at 6,000 feet per minute. And you're going, to get down to where you can be able to breathe from the 41,000 feet you were at, you got to get down to about 10,000 feet. You are going to all of a sudden have some reverence to God. Oh, God, bug. Oh, God, 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 God. Oh, God. I do believe. All of a sudden, the cowardly lion comes out of you. And we ain't even watching Wizard of Oz. Now, Kevin, am I right about that? Okay, jet pilot, yeah? You'll get your attention real fast because you're driving down 112th Street. You're going down right across Canyon Road, and all of a sudden somebody is going 60 and doesn't see the light. And you're going across the intersection. And they're going, Canyon Road. You're going, 112th Street. It's like, oh, God. All of a sudden, you know God's name. You go to church in that car. You having a hallelujah all the way home. Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Well, thank you, Lord God. You're so awesome. You're God, you're amazing. And you get home, eat dinner, forget all about it. Diotrephes had a problem. We have Diotrephes in the church. They cause the church to have to stumble. And we want to stop this. You are not greater than God. You're going to need God. One day, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus is Lord. Oh, that's before you go to hell. But every knee shall bow. Now, the problem is that, I don't believe that. Who cares what you believe? You barely got out of third grade on how to read anyhow. Nobody cares what you believe. You can't make it untrue. It's the truth. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess You will have no choice. I've been there in the spirit. I've been there where you have no control, no control. You have no control. You are not preeminent against God. I want to talk to the atheists right now. You will be until you see that them flames. You will be until you fall through that bottomless pit. You can stay that way because you can talk big and you got people that'll listen to you now, but you will have nobody hearing you. There's nobody there. You think you're gonna have a party in hell? No, you ain't gonna have no party. You might not even see anybody. Be there by yourself. God's universe is so vast, he can put you way down there and somebody else wee and do that with everybody ever been on the planet. And still they wouldn't see each other. You don't know what you're going into. And truth of the matter is, the preachers don't know either. We read the book and we see through a glass darkly, but we don't know everything. We should trust in the Lord with all our heart. Am I trying to scare you? No, I'm trying to preach to you. Look at what it says. I wrote to Diotrephes. He wouldn't stop. He loves to have preeminence. Like he's so great, he doesn't need God. He doesn't need God's people. In fact, he doesn't even want you to come there and encourage God's people. Don't send him a letter to the church. Who do you think you are? I'm going to tear up the letter and I'm going to stop the people from hearing what you've got to say. You don't need to encourage them. Don't be telling them nothing about what they need to do to change. Next verse. We're done after this. Next verse, please. Therefore, if I come to you folks over here, I will call to mind God remembers the deeds. God is remembering your deeds right now, my deeds right now. He's remembering. And I'm like, God, don't forgive me of that. I will keep to mind his deeds. Now, this is John writing. You know God knows. Which he does, prating against us, prating against the church. People fighting against the pastor, fighting against the leadership. Fighting against the deacons, fighting against the congregation, fighting against the leadership, fighting against the people of God, fighting against you. And not content with that, he himself does not receive the brethren. These people were traveling in to bless them, and they wouldn't receive them. And forbids those, not only does he act a fool, he tries to encourage others who wish to putting them out of the church. This guy is a nut. Now drop two verses down because there's fruits and nuts in every basket. Let's go to verse number Demetrius. There you go. Has a good testimony. So which one are you? Are you Diotrephes? Or are you going to be Demetrius? Has a good testimony from all and from the truth itself. We also hear witness, and you know that our testimony is true. See, there's a good report and a bad report. We'll go over it next week, but there's different kings in the Bible. And in the book of Kings and the book of Chronicles, it says they did right in the sight of the Lord. Or this king did evil in the sight of the Lord. Or that king did right in the sight of the Lord. And he will tell what they did. God is keeping track of your life, believers especially. Because guess what we are? We're kings. Because Jesus is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You ever wonder why God got all these leaders that were kings and leaders? All these guys in the Bible, Abraham, got Solomon, got David, all these high leaders, because he wants you to see yourself in a high position. That's why we study. We don't study a lot of things about people that didn't do much. We study about leaders, their positives and their negatives. Did you get something out of this today? Can we clap our hands and just thank the Lord for it? Now, I suggest that you go online and listen to this again and again and again and again and again. This is one of these teachings that God has nuggets for you. And you need to get the nuggets that is for you. There's something in here for you. There's much that I could have said that I didn't get an opportunity to say. We'll get back to this next week. But God wants you to be able to receive for 2026 because it's the year of acceleration. Okay? All right. Let's make a confession. Say, God, I am thankful that you care enough about me to give me this opportunity to hear from you. God, today I drop my pride. I let it go. My arrogance, my thought that I didn't need you, that I don't need you. I ask you, forgive me for having an attitude that I could do everything by myself. Have mercy upon me, God. You told me to trust in the Lord with all my heart and to not lean on my own understanding, even though I have it. And in all my ways, acknowledge you, and you would direct my path. God, forgive me. I lost my compass. I got away from the direction. But today, in every area, help me to make it right with you, and I'll give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Clap your hands, everybody. And let's thank God.